Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday, otherwise known as Rachel's birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, guys.
How are you still 28?
Oh, wheels. You're the best.
Oh, well, she's 29.
I know. Such an exaggeration.
It's been a great day so far. I'm feeling the love. So
good.
Thank you guys.
Yeah,
so
we all went to Chavez. You ever been there in Sierra Lard?
Oh, yeah, the Mexican place.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Great
place.
Yeah.
So good.
Really good. Rach has a thing about sharing nachos, and we made her share nachos. So it's good to make someone push their comfort zones on their birthday.
Happy birthday, Rach. Welcome to sharing nachos.
It was perfectly fine. I just got over it, and I went
She stuck to her own quadrant, I noticed.
No, and I went over into your quadrant.
She had a nacho that she wasn't taking that was perfect in her quadrant. I wanted so bad to get her nacho. Nope, it's her birthday.
I did that when we were just having the chips and salsa. Uh-huh. There was a perfect chip. And we both reached for it at the same time, but I let her have it since it's
That's all it is. We're good people, Dave. We're good people.
So what is your objection to it, that other people's fingers are in your food?
Yeah, it's that, and it's like the cheese gets cold, and that's already, like, evened me out. And then it's like we're all, I don't know, everybody's fingerprints are all over.
I kind of get it.
Yeah, it's just a lot.
I totally get it, yeah.
If it's just me and, like, Mason Jar or, like, my sister, then we're sharing nachos. I actually like the soggy nacho, the last soggy nacho. I think it's really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. Can I betray the trust of one of my co-hosts here?
Oh, no.
Fits me. Go ahead.
Under that hat and glasses, Chris Ranji has a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Best hug I've had.
Really?
Aww.
Yeah, really
sweet. Good job, Ranji.
That's nice.
Wow.
Very nice.
I'm a little touchy feely. Maybe that's it.
Just taking the opportunity.
Just trying to get a
chance to hug me.
Try to get a good squeeze.
You got it.
He's been planning that for a while.
Yeah, that was very, very sweet. Very sweet. What else? Rachel's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So funny. So Michael did a very short news. So we were back early and you guys weren't quite ready for the show. And I look back there and I see Amy running and I'm like, oh, Amy's running. And I'm like, she's a runner.
Yep.
Like it's not that funny to see Amy running.
Yeah. It's more comfortable than walking. I always look like a race walker. You know how it's like really jarring? It's like I almost feel more uncomfortable walking. But fast walkers, that's a skill that people don't talk about.
I finally found someone who can outwalk me. And it's pretty impressive. It's my daughter Phoebe.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
Who's 5'1". So
that's a lot of steps.
Her little legs, yeah. She leaves me in the dust when we're on vacation and hiking and stuff, like in the dust. Hmm. And you know me, right? Like not too many people can.
I have to ask you to slow down a lot. And yeah. I'm a pretty fast walker.
Yeah. Wheels is a I don't care what the sign says. Let's just cross the busy streets of St. Louis Walker.
Yeah, my goal. So I practiced this for years. So when we were at the old building on One Memorial Drive, I would cover Cardinals games almost every night. And my goal was to walk from the old KMOX building to the press box entrance without ever stopping, without ever breaking stride.
And?
So I would try to, it worked okay.
Yeah, you
just find your spots when there's no traffic and you go.
You replaced Trish on the show, and Trish was like that as well.
Really? All right.
She was just not waiting for anything.
High five, Trish. Let's go.
Trish said one of the funniest things that I've ever heard in my life, which was, so to give you guys an idea of like how the distance we're talking here, Chris is at the docket in the SLU Law School, is directly across the street from our building, so all we have to do is cross the street to get there. And the four of us, me, Dave, Rachel, and Trish, were walking to City Garden, I guess it is. And once we got to Chris's at the docket, so just right across the street from our work, Trish said, ugh, if I knew it was going to be this far, I would have brought a soda.
and the best part about it is she means it.
Oh, yeah. And we were directly across the street from our building.
That's good. Amazing.
Well, with Kevin crossing the street, I also feel like, you know, when you're driving your car and sometimes there's a piece of paper or plastic or then there's like a rock and you don't want to hit the rock because it's so bad for your car.
It's not good for your car.
I feel like that's how people driving would feel when they saw Kevin crossing
the street. A bright red rock.
It would just be like this rock. You're like, this is going to hurt my car.
Yeah.
It's hard not to see me.
Yeah.
Would you rather, if you're driving a car, would you rather hit a pothole or hit Kevin?
Like ethically or?
Ethically, you probably want to hit me, but different damage, right? I'll screw up your bumper, but your axle's going to take it when you hit that pothole.
I just got a notification. Notification from Schnooks that I had a bouquet delivered, and no one's going to be there until tonight. And I think with this weather, they might be dead.
No.
Right?
Yeah. Aww.
So. Boo. Oh.
So if you send me flowers, thank you.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is. I hate these days. The heat days. Like when most people get older, they go to Florida. Man, I'm going the other direction.
Yeah.
It goes north as I can get.
Because it's the dew point.
It's the dew point.
It's the dew point.
74 today.
Ugh.
That's disgusting.
I feel like you've talked about the dew point before.
Yeah. Oh, God. We talk a lot about it. Because people look at the humidity and go, well, it's only 60% humidity. But the dew point is when it starts to feel gross. Yeah. So if you get like close to 70 and then over 70 is really disgusting.
Well, they're really desperate to find their own thing, aren't they?
No. When Mason Jar and I were in Florida, the temperature said 87 degrees, which doesn't sound horrible. But the dew point was 80,
which is otherworldly.
I've never seen before. Awful. And so the feels like was 110 when the temperature was 87.
Wow.
I've never seen that before.
Well, yeah, our feels like today is like 9 or 10 degrees over what the temp is.
Why does humidity make stuff hotter? Why is that?
Because it's wet.
Of all the days to not have Dave.
Rach, can you tell your story from tennis last night?
Yeah, I decided to play tennis at 6 p.m. last night, which is basically, about as hot as it gets. And we had to stop playing after about an hour because we ran out of water.
Oh, no.
And then I got back home and I'm just like in my living room. I have enough room to do like some practice swings because I just kind of wasn't done with the experience yet. And I got so lightheaded and my vision started to turn black.
Oh,
I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to sit on the couch because I'm getting super dehydrated.
It's a weird feeling.
It was bizarre.
You pulled a Wheeler.
Rachel, I've been there many times.
For your birthday, because I know you're playing tennis, you have good days and bad days, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want a good day, it costs a little bit more, but rent an indoor tennis court, like rent an hour, on the court indoor, you will be leaps and bounds more skillful than you ever thought you could be. I haven't played indoor tennis since I was 15 years old, and we played, and I realized that's my problem. I'm an indoor tennis player.
There you go.
There you go.
Much better.
Yeah.
This is a weird way to find out Amy's a millionaire.
So I built my own tennis
court. What you need to do is rent an indoor facility.
Why don't you just charter a jet
to
take you somewhere cooler?
Well, you don't rent the whole facility. You rent a court. It was $35, I'll have you know, which is a pretty good deal for an hour of activity.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah. You know, my big problem with tennis, it like courts, as opposed to in a field, is I'm such a people pleaser. I just can't concentrate because if my ball goes into your court, and especially if someone's not nice about it, then like...
That is probably 95% of my anxiety surrounding playing tennis is just like... getting into someone else's court and messing up their game. Last night when we were playing, it was just us, and then a group moved onto the court next to us, but it was like little kids, and they kept hitting the ball over to us, and then I'm the jerk. I'm like, oh, there they go messing up our play again.
So have you played pickleball yet?
No, I don't think I want to play pickleball.
Still taking the stance?
Yeah, I mean, everyone seems like they're having a great time. I'm happy for everyone, but I like tennis better, so I'm just going to stick with this.
It's like swingers. Like, looks fun, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm glad you're having a good time.
Yeah, you enjoy that.
Yeah.
But it's not for me.
Like a swing
set? I'm going to stay over here playing singles.
Oh, Amy.
Like a tire swing?
Amy.
Those are fun.
Yes,
a lot
Amy.
Like that.
Yep, exactly.
Man, I miss swing sets. Like old school, jump them over swing sets.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you mean like the old ones in the backyard ones? Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we used to climb to the top of those.
The ones that aren't in the ground.
Yeah. They're just kind of,
just resting on the base.
You knew you had a handy dad if they were anchored.
Oh, dude. We, like, true story, in South Roxana, in addition to the mosquito fogger, the parents would just sit out there with a Hams beer or a Falstaff, and you'd get the swing going, and you'd try to tump it, because you don't dump it, you tump it in South Roxana, and it would get 3 feet off the ground, and they'd be like, like, look at my boy go. And then everything on it was rusted and sharp.
Oh, everything, always everything. Rusted. As soon as you assemble it, it rusted.
Yeah, one rain. It's done.
Did you ever have the conversation, as a kid, the ultimate goal was to swing all the way around?
Oh, yeah.
Like a 360.
And there was always a legend of some kid who's
Yeah. I don't think we can generate that kind of speed.
I don't think so.
But I know this. We used to get, you could get level.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when you would jump.
Then you jump off.
You could get level with the top bar, and that's when you would fly.
No surprise. I was so much more of a daredevil as a kid. I was never the daredevil. I was always, like, once we went to Six Flags, I was pretending I had pancreatitis or something so I didn't have to go on the Screaming Eagle.
I got pancreatitis.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I can't believe it. It's back again. And
I actually have three appendixes.
And you would, like, you'd get in line, and the line was always so long, and just like, well, it's going to take forever to get there. And the closer you get, the worse your excuses get, and you like get to the point where you have to get in a car. You're like, I think I'm sexually confused. I think I'm going to go watch the Chevy show or something.
Oh man, our street, our neighborhood, we were so much the 70s neighborhood where you'd built ramps for you to jump your bike out front, and inevitably it was a crash and a broken arm for somebody, or you know, just like the mostly what you got was the road rash, right? When you would crash and slide,
little pebbles
on
the
sidewalk. Yeah, I mean, it was always something like that. We were always like, how far can we jump? How many people can we jump
over?
Here
comes the back team. Here comes the Mercurio.
Oh, my gosh.
And like the next day, like, all right, let's try it again.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And when, to cover my fear, I would lie. Great combination of character traits. And they had this giant barrel called the Tom's Twister that would spin around and pin you. And I wouldn't do it. But when I came home, I told my friends were talking about it. Like, did you do the Tom's Twister? I'm like, yeah, dude. Like, once you got stuck to the wall and you climb up and you're on the ceiling, they're like, that doesn't happen. And I realized, I was just like, damn it, I went too far.
Oh, my God. Was that true, or was it an urban legend, urban myth that a kid fell in? I think it's
a myth.
Oh.
Fell in where?
In Tom's Twister.
Okay.
And then, like, what, disappeared?
I think he got, like, the gears ate him up.
Vanished.
I really think it's true. I think he was killed.
I mean, no. It seems like a design flaw to put gears in the bottom of it, but.
No, I think there are.
That didn't happen, but the lady, remember at the stand-up? There was the stand-up roller coaster, and the harness didn't come down far enough. She flew out. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that was here.
Whoa. Yeah. Not well, good. It's like when you, I loved when you guys did your Sweet 16 or the tournament of, like, and you had, like, the very dangerous carnival ride.
Yes. Uh-huh, yeah.
That was, I mean, those things were so much, you were in true danger there. At Six Flags, probably not, but at those deals.
Yeah.
And one time, this is so terrible because, you know, God love the carnies, but I was in law school and I went to one of them, and one of my classmates I graduated high school with was running like the Tilt-A-Whirl or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, he's not killing it. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, nothing. You know, WashU Law School. How are you? Tilt-A-Whirl, huh? You moved up from the skee ball. That's fantastic.
Did you trust him?
No. Yeah. God, no. He graduated from South Alexander. Kidding me?
You did see that video from a couple of years ago when it was one of those, you know, pop-up carnivals and the machine started tilting
it was the ride that looks like whatever used to be called the Rush Street Flyer. Yep. I think it's something different now. Like a smaller version of
where
that.
All the way around.
Yeah, the thing was about to fall
and
over with all those people.
30 people were jumping on the edge of it to hold it down, like just piling on top of each other.
Yeah, I saw that.
Gosh.
For some reason, my TikTok is showing me like bungee jumping and things like that, and there's one at some canyon, and it's just horrific. I mean, you jump out there and you go 200 yards this way, then 200 yards that way, and people are screaming for their lives. I swear to you, this is true. I would do most anything for $1 million. I don't think I could do it. And some people pay to do it. Like, that's just like you have a different brain than me. That just so, it's just the juice is not worth the squeeze, or vice versa, whichever it is. You're a daredevil, right?
Yeah. I'd probably do that.
I really appreciate my brother because he's the only person I know who has been skydiving, and he's like, awful. Terrible.
Yeah,
worst thing I've
ever
done. Terrible.
Don't
do that. I hated it the entire time. I was miserable. It was so terrifying. Like, everybody else is like, oh, it's spiritual.
Can't wait to do it again.
Yeah. It teaches you all I've ever needed to know about life. I learned from jumping out of a plane one time.
It's what's the craziest thing like that everybody's done?
Oh. Dripping down 70 during rush hour.
Walking to lunch with Wheeler.
Let's see, what have I done?
But I drove a NASCAR.
Yeah.
But there that I was in control.
Yeah.
That's different.
The wonkiest thing that felt the worst was being in a really small plane driven by somebody that I knew, as opposed to like
Did you not take off? Is that why he was driving
it? It wasn't a very long thing, but it was like, that's probably the one time where I was like,
Yeah.
Did you distrust them or just?
No, it's just, you know how small planes are already weird, and then it's like not a professional pilot, you know? But it wasn't like panicky. It was just like, you're like, okay, just get us on the ground, buddy.
Yeah. Why did you do it?
I don't know.
Were you going somewhere or he just took you up for a flight?
I think it was that. I can't remember whose teenage years.
No, I mean, it was going somewhere.
Yeah, we were just, there's a few
How
of us.
Do you not remember?
And it was like, hey, you want to do this? And I'm like, fine,
teenagers?
Sure.
Teenagers? You got in a plane?
Well, the guy wasn't a teenager. It was like somebody's older brother.
Okay.
That's what happened to Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know the gospel family? There's some gospel singing group.
I saw that.
They all died in a small plane crash yesterday, 2 days ago.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't like small planes.
Man. Kind of ironic, don't you think?
Wait, what?
You know, a gospel family.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if
Amy, you
that
brought
one's
it up.
Ironic.
Don't shy away now. You brought it up.
It's just people flying a plane. Don't crash the plane full of gospel singers.
I mean, you know, if I'm the big guy, I'm giving a little special treatment.
Good thing you're not the big guy.
Oh, my Lord, yes, no pun.
There's a lot of agnostics pretty mad right now.
Ooh. Just the procrastination alone. Like, I'm a very caring person, so when people prayed, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to do that for you. I'll get to that. Then the plane would go down and be like, I meant to pluck them out of the sky.
I'm eventually going to die. And I'm like, oh, Amy, pretty ironic,
hard.
Don't you think so?
Oh, I'll definitely say that.
Well.
You know, it's
looky
not a,
there.
It's not an irony. It's just a coincidence.
It's not even a coincidence. It's just a crash. It's not a plane coincidence. It's a crash.
I love that we're having sort of an existential real conversation.
Yeah.
Why people fall in love with AI, why they personify machines, because I get so angry at my phone. Like last night, I woke up in the middle of the night and I had to remind myself of something this morning. And so, you know, we've all done it like, hey, at 8 a.m., remind me, you know, take your pills, whatever it is. And she just wouldn't get it. And she kept saying like, something's wrong. And I was like so pissed. I mean, just like beyond angry. And I did like keep telling myself, it's a machine. It's doing exactly what it's capable of. No more, no less. Take it easy. Am I the only one that does this?
No. No, because you what was that?
What
the hell was that?
It was Amy.
No, it wasn't.
Was Amy, it my phone? Did you make a noise?
I think my phone's fighting back.
That's exactly what it is.
That was crazy.
Here they come. Skynet's coming.
Yeah, it is amazing how you get used to technology doing a thing for you, and then when it fails, it's like, oh, come on.
Oh,
like,
guess who else can talk now? Chimpanzees.
What?
So to speak, you have to be able to enunciate the words and get its understanding, which is why parrots don't speak because they don't understand what they're saying. They just parrot it back, no pun. Yeah. But chimpanzees now have been taught to say words that scientists believe that they're not just being prompted, that they actually understand saying mama and dada and things like that. Which, if anyone's ever seen Planet of the Apes, I mean, this is pretty much the way it starts.
Man. What is that?
Coco the monkey.
Did we just talk about this not that long ago? Like, elephants actually have names for each other, and they can call for each other over long distances, and that specific elephant answers the call. Like, that's crazy.
Like, hey.
Yeah.
Have you seen
I'm not really
fatty?
Sure I can understand.
Did you say? Or
it was more of a.
I believe his name is Professor Fatso, Amy.
Professor Fatso.
In the middle of my mom passing away, I thought of Professor Fatso and actually laughed.
I don't know what I just thought. I was like, that monkey. Professor Fatso. It's not Professor Fatso, though.
If I ever go to another city, I'm changing my name to the Professor Fatso.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
135 DGS on KMOX. I almost said, like, stay cool out there, like one of the dumbest things you can ever say. Those old white guy things that say, stay cool out there.
Hot one.
Hot enough for you?
Well, we got here just in time.
when we left the restaurant today, it was crowded. Got here just in time.
You said you saw that on Twitter?
Yeah, somebody tweeted, like, white people love to say,
I mean, every time my wife and I leave a restaurant as it's getting crowded, we're like, man, we got here just in time.
I think I say it. I think I just said it last week. About
yeah, you got it.
Yeah,
I think it's mandatory. I know. It's a victory. You've got to celebrate the victory.
It's a reflex.
Yeah.
It is.
You know?
It's as reflexive as, oop, yeah, when you bump into someone.
Oop, oop, oop.
Let me scooch past you.
Oh my gosh, why do we do that? It's so weird. Like you talk about the simulation, and I'm like, no, we're not robots, except for the
oop. Yeah.
And got here just in time.
Yeah.
Maybe we have been programmed. Because we all do it. The grass is going to love this.
I do the creepiest thing when I'm in my car. If I like pull out in front of someone, or if it's my infraction, I say sorry, but I whisper it.
Oh.
Sorry,
and there's no one in the car with me. I'm just like sorry.
I do the opposite. I shout insults.
We were talking about this today. These two were in the back seat and having a discussion / debate on what constitutes road rage.
No. It was about what was it? Losing it?
Yeah, losing
it. Meltdowns. Different. What's the definition of a meltdown?
Like and a I'm, car, an auto meltdown?
Just in
meltdown?
General, like I don't consider like outburst and swearing as a meltdown. A meltdown is like a continued action.
A person having a meltdown like would I'm say that.
I know.
Yeah.
That's not throwing a tantrum.
We've had this exact discussion, I think, once before where Kevin was like pounding his hands on the table and yelling about how he wasn't having a meltdown and that what a meltdown really is. And I was like, this seems a lot like a meltdown to me.
No.
And didn't you say with road rage, it's not road rage unless you take action?
Well, no, yes. I think it's
he said screaming F you out his window is not road rage. That's just a thing.
Does
that
a weapon
he's doing.
Have to be involved? Or
oh,
violence?
No. I mean, like if you're chasing someone or tailgating them, that's road rage. If you like pass them, get in. No, I mean, like, I looked up the definition of it. Road rage does, based on the definition, it does involve. Acting at another person, not just yelling, you're an idiot or whatever.
But that's where we got tripped up, is that I consider that acting. If I roll down the window and yell F you at you into your face.
That's road rage, yes. But doing it in your car where the other person's not going to hear it is not road rage.
I know you're looking up the definition, but, you know, the famous Supreme Court decision when they're talking about porn, right? And, like, you can't define it, but you know it when you see it.
We get it, Amy. You're talking about porn.
I feel like with road rage, you know it when you see it. It doesn't have to necessarily
But it hits everybody
fall.
Differently, though.
Kevin.
That's the point. That's Kevin. Why you know it when you see it.
Well, no, but that's the opposite of know it when you see it.
Have you ever followed anybody in your car?
No.
Okay.
Never.
You ever chased anybody?
Nope.
Have you ever chased anybody on foot or on any type of wheeled vehicle?
On foot, probably when I was a kid.
I'm not gonna lie to you. You'd be one of the scariest people to look in my rear view and see you chasing me.
I look like the anger guy from that movie.
You really do.
Yeah. I don't chase people. No, I never do that.
I would be like, there's no way I get out of this without my ass beat.
It's okay. He's screaming F you at me, but his windows are up, so he's not mad.
First of all, no.
Good comeback.
I don't think I have ever once rolled down my window and yelled that at somebody.
Okay.
I think you could be Donald Trump.
I have definitely.
You jumped out of car to yell at the bus driver.
No, I moved the cone is why I got out of the car. Because the cone was in our way.
I have never been so scared as when Ronge and Wheels and I were in a car. And he gets so mad at this bus driver in a turn lane that he gets out of the car and is yelling and...
He moved the cones.
I moved the cones.
Yeah. And I just thought,
but he yelled at the bus driver while he was moving the cones.
I did. I'm like, signal? When you're pulling into a lane in a crowded area and you don't have a signal on that says, I'm not going anywhere, that's annoying.
Didn't you call him a name, too?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah.
Amy says yes.
I did not.
I think you
what name did I call him, Amy?
I think it was A-hole.
Say it, Amy.
I think you called him an A-hole.
It was an M and an F.
No, it was not. It was not.
That could only be so many names. Yeah.
It was not that. It was probably like dumbass. Friend. It was something along those lines.
Wow.
See, a minute ago, he didn't call him any names.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. That's why I was like, he knows if he mentions the name here, it's going to look like road rage more than ever.
No, I mean, look, that one at least is borderline when you're shouting at somebody that can hear it. Then you can have the debate there.
Yeah.
The pattern of a guilty person is deny, 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 explain.
No.
Yeah.
Look, man.
If I rage it,
I'll admit it. Not afraid of it.
I'm not scared.
Just saying. Like, here's the problem is a lot of people think any
I
show
feel
of
like we're
anger.
Interviewing a serial well, killer.
But here's the thing. Like to Amy, like, any like show of.
Ed Kemper's over there right now.
Yes.
Well, you know how difficult it is to. Well,
I could crush her skull right now if I wanted.
Not that I want to, but I could.
If I killed somebody, damn it, I'll tell you I killed them.
They would call, I would be like the mini Kemper.
I chased him around.
That guy's like 6'9".
I want to give some defense for some road ragers. Let me give you one. Because when other people do things in their car, they're clearly inconsiderate of everybody around them. I think people most inconsiderate in their vehicles. Mm-hmm. Where nothing,
amen.
Nothing going on around them is happening in their world. It's just straight in front of them. There's nothing to the sides. There's nothing behind them.
They're the most important people in the universe.
Preach it.
Can I tell you who the most polite road rager is I've ever seen?
Rachel.
It's her birthday.
She did today, but it was really, really.
She did it today.
She was like, oh, that person's sliding into our lane.
Well, it was super annoying. That's what sparked the whole conversation. And they were looking at their phone.
Yeah, they were.
People are the most inconsiderate when they drive.
Yes.
The most aggressive thing I do, I mean aggressive like being mad, is when someone makes a really bad move, like, you know, turning left across three lanes or just doing something absolutely ridiculous and unsafe. I will honk my horn, but I lay on the horn
for
8 seconds.
Oh, that's rage, Amy. You've got
like
a rage
a
problem.
Long time. And I'll know when a couple times after Charlie Brennan had surgery and he couldn't drive, I was like, well, I'm going that same direction. I'll drop you off. And a couple times I did that and I could just see Charlie tense up. He's like, you should probably stop. He's like, we're gonna cause some trouble. You should probably stop. Because well, I mean, just lay on the horn.
When people
that's a rage problem.
When
Amy.
People slow down to like 10 miles an hour because they're looking for a parking space.
Yeah, yeah.
Or because they're not quite exactly sure if this is the turn they're supposed to make, as if nobody is behind
what
them.
What about
that's
the guy
right.
in the left turn
it's
lane?
It's infuriating.
And
yes.
it's a green light to turn left, and they realize, I need to go right. I need to go straight.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that
then
too.
They have their right blinker on. They just sit through the green. Yeah, to try to get over.
That's valid.
We had that.
No, it is not. Okay.
See, you guys are finally coming around. Like, there are times when the anger is justified.
We
totally.
Had a guy in front of us today coming back from lunch who was obviously distracted and didn't see it was a green light. And Rach gave the double horn.
The
and
quick
I,
one, yeah.
I
the...
swear her car said the words beep, beep.
Yeah.
Almost cartoonish.
Yeah,
the track's like horn is very
it was,
polite.
It was the meep, meep. Friendliest honking I've ever seen.
Meep, meep.
It's like the Roadrunner.
I know meep, exactly meep. That horn. Mason Jar has a truck.
I used to have one of those.
Yeah. Well, Mason Jar has a truck, and the horn, something like broke in the horn, so it's this big truck, and somebody cut us off. I'm like, hit the horn. He's like, I can't. I'm like, hit the horn. He's like, I can't. And he hit it and goes, beep, beep.
Do you remember, Chris, you'll remember this being from the East Side. Were they called, they're called like Ooga horns?
Oh, yeah, Ooga. I've heard those. Yeah.
Oh, those were the coolest.
Yeah. Have you heard the ones where like people will put the really loud horns? It's sometimes trucks, but I've seen one guy that did it.
Like with a cruise ship horn?
Yeah, it's one of those, but the guy put it on like a Ford Fiesta.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing ever.
It is bad, though. Like, I feel for Charlie Brennan, because when you're the passenger and someone's laying on the horn, but you're the one who's going to have to fight.
So, we're in this together.
I would feel bad for him, except he has this thing that he does, and he would do it when his daughter was in the car or his son in the passenger seat, and like, or I should say, in the back seat, right? Because his wife's in the seat next to him; they're in the back. And if there was someone like panhandling, he would pull the car up so that their back seat was level with the guy panhandling.
They rolled out the window.
Charlie did that?
Yes.
Wow.
I would die. And he rolls down the window. And the helplessness of being in the back seat when they line you
up with
a
great
move. Panhandler.
That's
solid.
I love that move.
That's a great joke. Yeah, see, then you're in the back seat. Your job is to then say, yeah, that guy driving that there, you go talk to him.
I need a ruling. I pulled up to Market and 14th Street, previously known for all the shootings. And it's like 9:30 a.m. And there's a guy and he's yelling at people. And he's dressed pretty well, and he has an iPhone, and he has, like, a Britney Spears microphone.
Oh.
And I had a couple bucks in my pocket, and I'm usually very, very generous with that, but I'm like, dude, you have an iPhone? You have things I don't have.
He's conducting business. Yeah.
Is that
fair? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And he was just yelling, who's got a couple dollars?
Yeah, nope.
Yeah, you got to keep in mind, like, you never have to give anybody money, you know? It's always valid to not, but, like, especially in that case, that definitely makes sense.
Man, we saw some guys laying bricks today.
Whew. Ew.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you to them, but no thank you for us.
Yes.
Is roof tarring still a thing?
Yes.
Ugh, can you imagine that today?
I had to do that when I was in college. That was rough.
My great-grandpa was a bricklayer in the city of St. Louis.
Wow.
So like the streets, all those brick streets.
That's pretty cool.
That was his job. Yeah. Yeah.
Should have made him more even.
I know.
Oh, sorry. It was a bad joke.
Oh my God.
There he goes raging. 151 DGS. Amy was just talking to us about her dad, and when they were young, he was just always working and always gone and did multiple jobs. Rach and I were talking about how relative life is, and like my house is a normal guy house, but probably in like the 40s, it would have been a multimillionaire's house,
right?
And things they couldn't even dream of. She was just talking about how she's living the life of a queen relative to everyone who's lived on the planet.
And just the luxuries that we have available to us that, you know, the Rockefellers at their time couldn't have dreamt of. I mean, there are other challenges. Sure, it's harder to buy a house now than it was in the 50s or 60s. But then there are also other luxuries that we have that have really raised our living experience and life expectancy and everything.
How were the 50s so great when we had like an 80% tax rate? I've never been able to justify that in my mind. Because those were like the greatest golden days of all time. Everyone had a house, everyone had a car, and everyone went on vacations to Yellowstone. And yet we had like sometimes like a 90% tax rate?
For like really wealthy
people. Yeah, you were super wealthy though.
Yeah.
Okay, so normal
that's why.
People
Normies was a lot less. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But also, I mean like, everything was reasonably priced. I mean, I guarantee you, if you go back and look at the business owners then and what CEOs and owners made compared to the rest of their employees, it wasn't 100 times more.
No, it wasn't.
That's a big change now. I mean, things are more expensive because the people at the top make crazy
just
money.
The amount more they have made since the pandemic even.
But then like also like with the advancement of technology, like TVs are so cheap. Like the monster TVs you can get for $400 now is insane. When, you know, even a decade ago, you know, they were so expensive. And then obviously in the 50s, you know, if you had to be pretty wealthy to have a nice television.
Back when VCRs first came out, my dad bought the old video camera and the VCR combo, right? I think they spent like $2,500 on that stuff. Like, and it was like, don't ever touch this. This is as valuable as a car.
The first cell phone. I mean, I thought, you know, like that's like a millionaire. Like, oh my gosh, you have a cell phone?
Yeah.
You know, the big gray cell phones in a bag.
Like you're calling in an airstrike and
Yes, that's what it looked like. So there are so many things like that that are very affordable now. And the average American and even those who, you know, if you're struggling to make certain ends meet, there are still some luxuries from air conditioning to a phone that you have.
I'm just grateful for plumbing.
Right?
Plumbing is so good, man.
I remember when my grandparents got indoor plumbing. Like, we had to use outhouse.
I mean, I can't imagine not having it.
No.
It's It's the greatest invention ever.
Every spider in the world lives in the hole of an outhouse.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's worse than what you think. You'd have to take a stick and run it around in there.
No, stop. Are you serious?
Oh, dead serious. Yeah. Middle of the night, you got like a porcelain bucket, or you got outside.
I mean, like...
This was like in the 70s.
Just think about how easy it is to get food now. Like, you know, 100 years ago...
Right.
Or 150 years ago...
They'd be so mad if they could see this.
I know! I mean, you're like 4 minutes from every kind of food you could ever think of.
Yeah.
Right. People will bring your food to you. Any food you want.
So, which begs the question, in 30, 40 years, what do they have that's going to seem...
Teleportation.
Could be.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.